You got some people sprinkle, some people pour, some people dunk, right? So you got all these different things. What are they? Traditions. They're traditions of men. How did they come apart, come about? I grew up in the Baptist church. I've held ministry positions, staff, whatever, in charismatic churches, in word churches, in a non-denominational church. I preached in the Methodist church. And trying to talk to the Methodists about this stuff, they don't even know why they do what they do. And one of the things that they do gets over into another thing about baptism. You've got some people out there that say you should baptize the child as an infant. And some try to say, well, it's not actually baptized, it's dedication, but you're baptizing the infant, right? That's what I would ask the Methodist if they knew how that came about. Why is that a part of their tradition now? It was not a part of John Wesley's tradition at all. And he's the one who founded, quote, Methodism. John Wesley, there was a child brought to him, a small child, infant, who had a terrible fever, and they were concerned. And think about this. If you got a kid that's burning up, and you know that that kind of fever is too much, what's a logical thing to do with a child? Put them in the water. Okay? That's what they did. At a kitchen table, he took a tub, filled it up with water, and put the baby in the water. While he was praying, believing God for the healing of the child. Got it? Guess what happened? Baby got healed. So decades later, guess what they're doing? They're dunking babies, right? Why? Because the baby got healed. That's called tradition of men. Didn't have anything to do with it. It was spirit, not flesh. So now they're going to get into the spirit by doing the flesh. No, don't. That's just one. Okay? You can go down through others. The Methodists expect the child to confirm that when they're 12. Okay? We could talk about Catholics, same thing. You're going to baptize a child. You got to baptize the child. But then the child's going to take First Communion. And that's going to mean now they're not just covered over till then, now they're actually a part of the whole thing. What? Where is there anywhere in Scripture that gives, want to know where the closest idea to that is? Circumcision with the Jews. You circumcise the child on the eighth day. But then at the end of his 12th year, you bar mitzvahed him. You gave him, he recited the commands. And that made him, officially a part of everything. Y'all, this stuff is 2,000 years old. But there's nothing in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, in the teaching of Jesus, that says any of that stuff except baptism is a good thing. And you should observe it, right? Okay? Let's take another step. With baptism, why do you baptize people? It's odd when you look at, I think it's 1 Peter 3:5, which is normally what people think about that know stuff, okay? Kind of what Scott said. Peter said that baptism does also now, quote, save us. Not the putting away of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Okay? However, when you quote that verse of Scripture, you left off what the baptism does also now. Now is new. Now, as opposed to then. Because the verse before that is talking about how God saved the whole world through Noah by the water. Noah was saved through the water. How does he save through the water? Well, first of all, God cleansed the whole planet with water. He washed the world. Isn't that cool? God said, I'm just going to clean it up. So he washed the whole world with water, but the water also saved Noah because he built the boat, and because he built the boat, it float. So the boat float, they're saved, the earth is cleansed. That's what Peter says before he says, and now we can see the same thing in, quote, baptism. And when you look at the word saved there, the idea that baptism saves you, that's not what Peter was saying at all. It's in the same way that that happened, this happens. The same way. But again, there's no particular instruction there. You are, as Scott quoted, you are buried with him in death. In other words, this is an answer of your conscience. You've accepted Jesus and you follow him. And the Baptist in this particular area probably got it closest to being right, because they have the idea, as do many, especially charismatic churches, and even Pentecostal churches, because the idea is it is following the method, the prescribed method of following Jesus. You're following him in, quote, believer's baptism. Baptizing somebody who doesn't believe is a waste of time and water, because it has nothing to do with it. You want to dedicate a baby, fine. But you start thinking that that has somehow some spiritual effect for the... No. Speak word over the baby. The word of God is spirit and life, right? Okay, not the water. You are supposed to follow him in believing. How do you do that? Well, Jesus started it off when he told John, you need to do this for me. I ain't doing it. Do it because it's the right thing. He did it believing, right? And it goes all the way through there. It's the exact same thing. So when you start getting past that absolute simplicity, you've started entering over into the traditions of men. And it'll keep going until pretty soon you'll lose the power of the effect of what's actually being taken place, which is the answer of a good conscience toward God, because you can stop and go, no, I am dead to sin and I'm alive to righteousness. I did that on purpose, my own self. Well, with the help of the guy that dunked me in there. Okay? What Scott brought up a minute ago. Jesus didn't baptize anybody in the earthly ministry. Made it a point of saying that. Why? Because Jesus said, John said of Jesus, he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus said, you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Again, by doing the baptism thing, most people who come to follow Jesus and want to, quote, be baptized, think that because they did that, they're done.